ses deux grands yeux très clairs où parfois passaient des éclairs comme au ciel passent des orages. Il avait plein de tatouages que j'ai jamais très bien compris. Son cou portait à vue pas pris. Sur son cœur on lisait personne, sur son bras droit un mot, un raison. Je sais pas son nom, je ne sais rien de lui. Il m'a aimé toute la nuit, mon légionnaire. Et me laissant à mon dessein, il est parti dans le matin plein de lumière. Il était mince, il était beau, il sentait bon le sable chaud. Légionnaire, il y avait du soleil sur son front, qui mettait dans ses cheveux blonds de la lumière.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Sunday edition. Today's date is the seventh day of October 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here for another, another chance getting my take on what's happening in the world. Little by little, the depth of the problem, of the rot, of the challenge, if it's a better word for you, I think challenge is a better saleable term as far as trying to get people involved and trying to fight with you. The challenge is that we have to start understanding on its face what the problems are and how serious and how imminent the implosion is. And what we need to do is take a look at the previous implosions in the world through the communist system, because all of you know from listening to the French Connection and reading on your own and doing your own due diligence, that communism is nothing more than a Jewish conspiracy that was propagated through the New York arm of the Zionist movement and then helped along through the London arm and its monies and then kept alive through the control of all the Western governments and Russia. And in fact, there have been people in America who have gone along with the false fight between communism and capitalism because they didn't know any better. They didn't know that it was a fraud. They didn't know that what they were actually fighting against was just a layer of deception, and that, in fact, the idea since the 1940s was to, in America, to corporatize the country under fewer and fewer controlling hands. And in the non-capitalist world, it was to communize or turn into a communist state, placing the control into fewer and fewer hands. And then ultimately to merge the corporatized side with the communist side and have the very small numbered people at the top running everything. That's been the goal from the beginning. Now take a look where we are today, and if you take a look at how many corporations in the world are running each segment of our world's work, for example, oil, we've probably got six or seven majors in the oil world. Same with the drugs, majors meaning corporations, drugs. We have the same number in agriculture, 7 or 8 large, Cargill and Monsanto and the rest. And then you can come over here and in the defense industry and in transportation and so forth and so on, all the way down, even into mining and everything. There's 5, 6, or 7 controlling organizations in each one of the important areas of economic life. In each of these organizations, the ultimate control is, while it looks on the surface to be held by rich investors, oftentimes their entire wealth structure that they've built is promised in will and testament or in trust over to the hands of someone else. that very conspiracy, that very control, that very transfer of ownership was used by the Rothschild fortune and by the controllers, which there's about between 300 and 700, I'm not sure exactly, but it's in that range of top-notch controllers at the very pinnacle of power in the world, where all of the assets and power and control and money and influence of the organizations, such as like General Electric or Ford Motor Company or Total Fina Elf or even the banks for that matter, all revert back to this group, regardless of what it says on paper in the public side of the share structure. It reverts back to the top. Now, that being said, it starts making you wonder what differences there are between the American structure and the old communist structure. Well, there were virtually none. Basically, statism run through the Jewish communist control mechanism held supreme control over the economic life and the geopolitical life of the country. While you take a look at what happened in America, the geopolitical life in the United States was handed over to these small in number corporations whose real controllers are the same people who are controlling the communist movement in the world. It goes right back to the top. There was evidence of this back in the 1970s when someone named Armin Hammer was ferrying technology information from the United States directly to Russia to help them build the semblances of a strong military and to help them show on the face of their nation a strong technological facade. But in fact, much of the technology was coming from all over the world, from Germany and from America and from Japan and so forth. Excuse me. So what we've got is really these left-right fights, these communist, non-communist fights, this capitalist, non-capitalist fights, communist fights, are all basically meant as false games, false fights. The ultimate control is to begin limiting power in the hands of the plebiscite or the grassroots, and funneling that power up to the top. And that is exactly what has happened in the last 50 years in earnest. But it was begun long before that. It was begun 100 years ago. And if you take a look at the results of it, what we're heading for in America is a complete Soviet-style lockdown. Now, many people who have bought into this, love thy brother, pay for their medical care, save a tree, hug a tree, save a beaver, save a snail darter, all that stuff. Green up the environment. All of these so-called left-leaning movements, even including the women's movement, were all set forth and issued forth by this group, by this communist Jewish group in America, socialist Jewish group in America, through the control of organizations that they had very well placed within society. And as people are raised up in the society that we've got today and what we've had in the last 40 years, they were indoctrinated into the belief structure that these people set before them. Now, that same belief structure said that families are not necessarily close to one another, that you don't have to have a mother in the home, that a woman can have it all. She can work, play golf, juggle three jobs, six kids, and still bake your bread, honey. And see, the point of the matter is that what we've got today, after selling women that lie, because they can't have all of these things, it ends in very badly. It ends in emotional problems. It ends in family problems. It ends in divorce. And you'll notice that in the last 30 or 40 years, divorce has skyrocketed in the hundreds of percents. Relations between men and women have never been worse, ever. Women have never felt so unsatisfied about the world they live in. At the same time, they have given rise to homosexuality, which has always existed in society. But instead of just treating it as an aberration, as it really is in our population, 90% are not born gay, and 10% probably are. So that is an overwhelming majority in the non-gay side of things. They have promoted this as a life's first choice lifestyle decision. At the same time, in our press, they have alienated men from their daughters, women, young men, young boys from their fathers. They have feminized men. And all of these things have come as a demoralization, a way of destroying cohesion, as a way of making people feel that they have no ties to the human family, no ties to their past, no ties to their culture or their heritage. And as a result, they become demoralized. They become cynical, uninterested. And they begin to turn to entertainment exclusively for all of their immediate needs. And again, everything becomes immediate gratification. And that's why people often say that the American public has an attention span of a retarded child, which is probably being generous, because they don't want to focus on anything difficult, because they've been fed this demoralizing diet over time, and now people are turning away from the solutions because it doesn't seem like any of them are either possible or even comprehensible by the general public, and so people just become demoralized. That was not done by accident. It was done by design. It was done by the Gloria Steinems and the Bella Abzugs of the world. It was done by the Hug a Tree people running around trying to take property rights from people. It was done by the implosion of our finances forcing women into the working world. It was also done by television saying that men are basically cowardly, feminine, stupid, incapable humans that can't defend family values or anything else, let alone do anything correctly. And that's just the beginning. You know, then there's the teaching in grade school about homosexual families are a first choice if you'd want one. Now, that's not to say gays can't be members of every family. Here's the interesting thing. Many of the societies of the world who, over history, have known, everyone knows that gay people have been in our societies. There are many Pacific societies, ladies and gentlemen, that treat gay people as much equal as anybody else in their society, and there's no hatred toward them in any way. It's accepted as you would anybody else, that your brother, your sister, your mom, dad, or anybody. But it is not held up as a style of life that you would want to emulate. It is also not punished. The punishing of homosexuality and then the subsequent vaulting of it as a lifestyle choice was done by these same criminals that we talk about every day. Another fight, another left-right, another up-down, another two sides of the Hegelian dialectic, if you will. So what happens after the demoralization process is fully ensconced in the society, the people become ripe for implosion, and it just takes a crisis after that to bring the country down. And I believe that that's where we are today in the Western world. The implosion that these people have had planned for a very long time is imminent, and they are relying on the fact that people will not turn on their masters. They will not find out in time who's done this to them, and that they will be able to use the anarchy that will ultimately reign during a period of implosion to call out their criminal police departments to knock everybody's head and ultimately take full control of the country. And then all you liberals, all you people out there who thought that you were fighting to make a better world through socialist structure. The Europeans call those lefties. Anybody calls them a lefty. All you people who thought you were doing a good deed by following a Hillary Clinton are going to find out that you have been deceived. And you will be the first group rounded up. Because they fear that you're helping them take the country over. But as soon as they get control of the country, you become a danger to them. Now, I got much of this information from matching up my knowledge of this conspiracy to what many people have said, including a KGB spy who defected back in the 80s. He discussed this, and it was very clear to me now after why he did a show many, many years ago talking about this. But when you take a look at it and you apply your knowledge of history to what this man said, it is extraordinarily important that and cogent that this man placed his conspiracy parallels in every way. I wanted to say the things that I've discovered through research, and it makes perfect sense. You know, having grown up in the late 60s and early 1970s and watch the process of taking the family apart, forcing mothers into workplace, destroying the relationship between fathers and their daughters and children and their parents and all of these things, and the women's movement and all of the different things. Now, equal rights for women is a very good idea, but that's not what we ended up with. We ended up with no rights for families and women believing that they were free from the confines of family, and yet they still lived within them. And the result was that they felt dissatisfied with their family lives. They felt they had let their families down in many instances. And anybody who's spent any time looking at this can tell you that the women's movement and all of the destructions of these values that we had in the 1960s and 70s and what came out of all of these different efforts by the left-leaning people have all turned out to be a terrible idea. It's kind of hard to describe this whole thing unless you can sense an overall picture. One of the ways that they have worked at keeping people away from fighting back against them is by using fear. You become unwilling to strike back at what's happening to you because of the demoralizing process, but also because you become fearful and you think that by building yourself into a little cocoon and surrounding yourself, as I said earlier, with entertainment, you're somehow going to insulate yourself from any harm, from any need to face these real issues. To be strong, to be courageous. And then the people who ultimately do stand up, they too can be paralyzed through even higher levels of fear. And I bring to your attention Mr. Alex Jones for that. It's exactly what his role is. The people that work with him, that is his role, and that is the role of Kurt Nemo, and that is the role of people like Rentz and Mike Rivero, the man that still thinks Arabs flew a plane into the Pentagon, or somebody threw a jumbo jet into that building is what he thinks. All the evidence says it's not true, and yet this man has stuck to this. Just to throw a monkey wrench in any credibility he might have, he's been around for 12 years. He's never proposed a single way to fight back against anything, never once. And most of the information he gives you is so disparate and so all over the place that it actually demoralizes rather than focuses you. And that is that's his job. That is Alex Jones's job. They do it on different levels, but they do it together. People are starting to see that. In fact, if you talked about this a year ago, you'd have had maybe two or three people agreeing with you. Now you've you've got 30 or 40% of the internet who has any knowledge of Alex Jones knowing the man is a liar. They've been able to push the veil away from their own eyes long enough to see enough truth to know that Alex Jones does not have his finger on it. And that, in fact, world Zionism is no doubt at the top of this food chain, as we sometimes refer to the criminal group, and that these people are actually protecting them, people like Jones and Nimmo and Rivero and the rest. And they've noticed it. They've seen it. You can go to the blogs. You can go to the and a lot of them won't let you post stuff about it. And that tells you clearly that they don't even want this issue even out there. Because when you go to one of the sites they're in control of, like Newsnet, the Daily, and all these other different sites, and even the Daily Kos and so forth, they will chop off your posts immediately. They won't let you even debate this issue because they don't want more people to say, huh, wait a minute, yeah, that's right. I've seen it from the beginning. I didn't always have it exactly accurate, but I've always known that this was the game. And when you sit quietly in your own mind and take a look at this entire process, it becomes clearer to you what these folks have done and how they've done it. And then they've got an operative level out there that tries to destroy anybody's reputation who might be onto the truth, such as myself or Eric Kupfschmidt or even Bolin before he turned bad. So we got to get this stuff right. We got to understand that the next stage of this is going to require us to actually do something physically, to do something, to participate in this away from our computer screens and actually do something proactive. Because if they're allowed to put into action the next part of this plan, you'll find yourself behind an electric fence, getting put onto a gulag train someplace. And that's not far off. I mean, take a look at the infrastructure they've built, the experts they've brought in to build it, the train systems that have been installed, the large military bases that have been converted, and you'll understand that this is certainly what's coming next, especially when you know they use the same structure in Soviet Union to a great effect. In fact, they're getting better at using this criminal system because they took the Stasi's system, which was the best at controlling the public and having people tell on each other, and they mixed it with their Evgeny Primakov gulag management, and now they're bringing that expertise to the United States. And can't make this stuff up. And here's the funniest thing about all of this stuff, and this is why I really wanted to talk to you today. It's going to be the last subject I bring up today, is this guy Ron Paul. Ron Paul offers no solutions that are going to fix anything. None. Nothing he says is going to fix anything. Because what he's doing and what he's proposing and what he's living under, the lies he's living behind, are all about keeping the same system we've got in place. And the system we have is, by its design, criminal. It has been designed to become a criminal enterprise. And therefore, it needs to be thrown out with yesterday's rubbish. That means, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have a do-over, and that means we have to get rid of every law the country has ever adopted, all the way back to 1776, and restart the nation from ground zero, from one brick after another, from the start, and implement rules that are honestly needed, but that do not impinge or infringe upon individual freedom and liberty. Because all freedom starts with the individual. And that was a concept that the founders knew well. And that if there were laws that were enacted to help people to live a better life without stopping in any way individual liberty, then they could be examined. But the system we have today never looks at that relationship. and it was designed not to. Our court systems, our licensing systems, our tax system, our transport system, our access to money and wealth through our jobs and our what we can keep in our lives and how we can become educated, all of these things never look out for the individual's freedom first. They look out for statism. They look out for harmony within groups rather than individual freedoms of expression and freedoms of movement and liberty and all of these concepts that are far more important. So, again, in order to erase the crimes the effects of the crimes of these people have visited upon us, we would have to go back to the beginning and restart the structure over again. That's the only thing we can do, and that would cause immense pain in the country. But the pain that you are going to see coming is going to be murderous. It's going to be Chinese-like when they killed their 60 million. It's going to be Russian-like when they killed their 50 million. It's going to be Europe-like when Germany killed its people and when Napoleon murdered his groups. It's going to be 50 times worse than the Civil War in number. It's going to be a murderous upheaval, and it's imminent. Yeah. And it was done by Zionist criminal Judaism. Make no mistake about it. They're the people that financed the Russian Revolution. They were the people that have advanced the idea of corporatism. They're the people who have advanced the financial structure that always favors their crimes, that always favors their political bent, that always favors their take and understanding on the world, their foreign policy, their military structure, their false battles that are erupting all over the place. It is this group, and it always goes back to them. And you need to stop listening to what this Mr. Jones says and start inserting Zionism and criminal Judaism in place of when he says the New World Order, and start naming names. Find out who's at top of these things. Find out why 7 out of 10 billionaires in America are Jewish when they're only 2% of the population. 70% of the billionaires? That's not a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. That is by design. Now, are all of these people that are running things even aware of this larger conspiracy? I'm going to tell you no. Something else that KGB officer said a lot. He talked a lot about useful idiots. So have I for the last couple of years. I always refer to people as either Zionist shills or useful idiots. And it's not that important whether you're one or the other, because the effect that you have is the same. Whether you're doing it with intent or malice, or you're doing it without any knowledge or forethought, it's still the same effect on the rest of us. So I've always called for the marginalization of both groups. I have tried of late to maybe start trying to educate the useful idiots, and I think that might be a strategy for us, because I think people within our government who have been going along to get along may have enough disillusionment in the policies and in the processes that they are participating in to begin to revolt against the system. You'll see it in the military first. We already have seen it in the military, and we will continue to see that process. But I would like to see it in local and city governments. I'd like to see it within state capitals. I'd like to see it within European capitals, within media groups, and within reporters' ranks. These are the things that we need, ladies and gentlemen. I try to make this, you know, I don't sit with notes in front of me. This just is off the top of my head all the time, and I never have a plan for how I'm going to present this. I just hope that when it comes out of my mouth, that it is couched in a fashion that is understood by the people that are most need to know this stuff, and that I'm not making terrible mistakes in the presentation. So I hope that has not happened today. I hope you understand where I'm coming from with all this stuff. it's not mindless ramblings. This is an important, these are important concepts to understand about how this conspiracy runs and what their goals are. You know, when Jones says we're heading for one world government, he's right. But what he's not telling you is who's done it to you and why they've done it. He'll often tell you that it's because they're the Luciferian German death cult or something, or some other booga booga type of thing. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's about supreme control over the planet. It's about money, power, and influence. And it is from a group who don't see you as human in any large sense. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to carry out the crimes they commit. You see, if they weren't sociopathic in their approach and they ever displayed any empathy, they would not be able to be the leadership of the group that's doing this, because they would feel bad about the things they've done and ultimately turn against the system that they've helped build. Well, not all people involved in this are sociopaths. Many of them, as I just mentioned, are useful idiots. Those are the people we need to migrate to our side of the ledger and get them informed about who's done this and why. As that happens, ladies and gentlemen, our chance at putting a stop to this will grow. I think ultimately they won't be able to stop this. It won't happen in my lifetime unless the things I'm talking about become better understood. But ultimately, criminal Zionism is going to fail because the world now is learning about it, and that can't be stopped. That process is underway, and it will continue for possibly decades. And I don't think that it will ever be extinguished now, because once it has gotten to the point the Internet has it, it has been downloaded and hard copied and put into archives and understood by too many people now to put it back into a stasis. What I'm fighting for now is a faster end to it, one that maybe came in my lifetime, and that's asking for a lot because of age and health issues. But I would love to see this group fall in my lifetime, and without a lot of human suffering to go along with it, although there's going to be a great deal of it no matter what we do. But to minimize it. So I hope you understood most of this. I hope it didn't ramble on too much. Again, to understand this world the way I see it, it requires you to suspend your disbelief for a moment or a few moments long enough to allow some of the concepts I talked about today to sink into your head, and then you'll understand better when you look at news and you look at the websites out there that are meant to deceive you, just how they're going about it and what their real intended goal is. It becomes much clearer. That's today's rant. I hope it was helpful and informative. We do have guests coming up next week, and I will let you all know about those when it happens. But until then, take care of your families, please, and be well. Till the next time. Bye-bye now.
Bonheur perdu, bonheur enfui, toujours je pense à cette nuit, et l'envie de sa peau me ronge. Parfois je pleure et puis je songe que lorsque j'étais sur son cœur, j'aurais dû crier mon bonheur. Mais je n'ai rien osé lui dire, j'avais peur de le voir sourire. Je sais pas son nom, je ne sais rien de lui. Il m'a aimé toute la nuit, mon légionnaire, et me laissa pas mon dessein. Il est parti dans le matin plein de lumière. Il était mince, il était beau, il sentait bon le sable chaud, mon légionnaire. Il y avait du soleil sur son front qui mettait dans ses cheveux blonds de la lune. dans le désert, il avait ses beaux yeux ouverts, dans le ciel passaient des nuages. Il a montré ses tatouages en souriant, puis il a dit, montrant son courant, pas vu, pas pris. Montrant son cœur ici, personne ne savait ça, je lui pardonne. Je rêvais pourtant que le désert me ramènerait un beau matin mon légionnaire, qu'on s'en irait loin tous les deux dans quelques pays merveilleux plein de lumière. Il était mince, il était beau, on l'a mis sous le sable chaud. Mon légionnaire, il y avait du